Welcome to Exploring Bible Prophecy with our teacher, Steve Butler. As we continue through our series today on why we should explore Bible prophecy, we encourage you to download your free study guide by visiting whcbradio.org. There, click on Exploring Bible Prophecy, download the study guide, and follow along with us. Now, open your Bibles as we explore Bible prophecy.
Hello, and welcome to Exploring Bible Prophecy. In this program, we're going to pick up again in point number 10 in our worksheet. Point number 10 in our worksheet, and that has to do with, in order to properly warn the unbelieving world about what is to take place here in the near future based on God's Word, we need to be students of God's prophetic Word. So this is point number 10 in the series that we're teaching on right now entitled, Why Study Bible Prophecy? Why should we be taking the time to explore all of these different scriptures that we have been through here in the last nine, now going on 10 points? What's the purpose of all that? And of course, one of the key purposes that we're trying to make here in point 10 is to be able to share this prophetic information about what is to take place with the unbelieving world. We share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ with them, and that's what we're taught to do in church. We're taught to do in our Sunday school classes and on the TV and radio programs, but rarely do you hear people talk about how we need to make them aware of what God is going to do with those who refuse the gift of salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. It is a judgment that you would not want, you would not hope, you would not wish on anyone, because God is very descriptive in what he's going to do. So we've been spending what you might call some difficult time here in point number 10. And again, if you're listening for the first time, yes, this is a difficult passage that we're going through, but it's probably one of the more important aspects of why we should study Bible prophecy. And we're using a worksheet that you can actually download from this radio station, whcbradio.org. And you can find the little icon on Exploring Bible Prophecy. You click on that, it'll bring up this worksheet, and you can follow along with us. You can download it, make notes on it as we go forward here. And again, back to our point in 10, that it is difficult because we've been describing God and Jesus in passages in the Old Testament, and we're getting now ready to go into the New Testament, where it's difficult. It's talking about God hating evildoers, God hating those who are doers of iniquity. And we learn, for instance, in Deuteronomy 7, verse 10, that God will judge these people to their face. This is not going to be an impersonal God. He's going to make it very personal. So it's something that we would not wish on anyone. So at some point in time, as we share the good news of Jesus Christ and salvation through him, to make them aware that if they refuse this free gift, there is a point in time of judgment that's coming for them that you would not wish on anyone. And we looked, and let's start by going back to Ezekiel 33, verse 11, and then we'll move into the New Testament. Ezekiel 33, verse 11 is showing an attribute of God's character that dispels some common misunderstanding in the church today about God and his sovereignty, and that God has sovereignly preordained that certain people are going to heaven, and God has preordained in his sovereignty that certain people are going to hell, and there's not a thing they can do about it. Well, there are a number of passages to correct that improper teaching, that misunderstanding, but one that we went over in our last program, and I want to reiterate again in the context of the character of God, primarily, but also to point out the fallacy in this idea that he condemns people to hell. Look at verse 11 of Ezekiel 33. That's in the Old Testament. So if you found Jeremiah and Lamentations, you'll get into Ezekiel. And if you've gone to Daniel, you've gone too far to the right. You need to move back and find Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. And there it says, and listen to the emphatic nature of God's word. Say to them, so this is God telling Ezekiel to tell the Israelites as the appointed watchman on their wall, say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways. Why then will you die, O house of Israel? So he's telling this obstinate, hard-headed people, Israel. And you remember, Israel was married to God, just as the church is going to be married to Jesus following the rapture and the Bema Seat judgment, where we are going to be judged for our works, not our sins. Israel married God back in Exodus chapter 19. But she has been an unfaithful wife. She has been a spiritually adulterous wife who has turned to idol worship and has followed after other kings and kingdoms and is refusing to live under God's commandments and his statutes and to be blessed as he offered over and over again. If you simply will follow me, I will bless you. They're refusing it. And he's saying, you're going to die in your wickedness, Israel. And that's a terrible thing. He says, I don't want you to die in your wickedness. I take no pleasure in that. So you can see that this is a God talking to the pinnacle of his creation, which is mankind. And he's given them a free will to choose him or to turn away from him. And he's told them all the wonderful things that he will do to you and for you if you will simply believe him. And for us, it means believing in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But he says, if you turn from me, I take no pleasure in your death when you die in your wickedness, because it's going to be a terrible death and a terrible eternity. And I say that because I have tried to study God's word. I have tried, and I continue to try, continue to labor in God's word. And I'm praying that that's what you will come to do if you aren't already of an understanding that you need to be in God's word to understand what he's saying to us right here. What he's saying to Israel, he's saying to us, because it has application at a level above Israel. It has an application to all mankind, that God takes no pleasure in your death if you die in your wickedness. But you will die in your wickedness, and you will be judged. And we need as believers to understand that and to share it with those we come into contact with as God leads us through his Holy Spirit to share not only the good news of God's love and what Jesus has done for us, but also what's in store if you refuse. So now let's go to the New Testament. And let's go to what you'll soon see if you're not already familiar with it, is another difficult passage, but it's showing what God says he will do for those who have accepted him and what he will do with those who refuse him. He says it all here in this passage that through the Holy Spirit, Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, and this is in Second Thessalonians, and we're looking at chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And let's start at verse 7 here. It says, and to give relief to you. In other words, he's talking to the believers at Thessalonica. He says, to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well. So he's talking about himself, Paul, and those that are traveling with him, that as he's been writing this letter back to the Thessalonians. And it says, to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. So he's talking about Jesus coming back at his second coming, and he says we're going to get relief because God, or rather Jesus, is going to judge at his second coming. So he's talking about his mighty angels in flaming fire. The flaming fire is the fire of judgment, as we see in a number of places throughout the Bible. So it's referring to Jesus coming back at his second coming to judge those who have afflicted the believers in Jesus Christ. Verse 8, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. So he's telling you exactly what he's going to do when he comes back with his angels, and of course the church is coming back with him. But God, Jesus, in his second coming, is going to be doing the judging, not the church. And he will be dealing out that retribution. And it tells you very clearly who he's going to deal that retribution, that payback, that punishment to. And it's those who have afflicted the believers up in verse 7 and in verse 8 who do not know God. And that's why they're afflicting the unbelievers, because these people do not know God. And they do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, what's the core belief, the core admonition of obeying the gospel? Love God as no one else, and then love your neighbor, love your brother. And they don't do that. So that's why they're afflicting the people in Thessalonica that believe in Jesus Christ. So we see that he is going to be a one who pays back. And if you recall from a prior program in Deuteronomy chapter 7, you find that listed there at point number 10. Deuteronomy 7 verse 10 says that God will pay back to their face those who do not believe him and do not believe his son and the gospel of his son, that he will pay back with retribution. So it's going to be a terrible time for those who refuse Jesus Christ, but he will do that as a way of giving relief to those who have been persecuted. And of course, you know, as a Christian who believes in Jesus Christ, the Bible promises you that you will see persecution. You will see some sort of tribulation during your lifetime because of your faith, because it says the world hates you for your faith. So it's a set of difficult passages that we're going through here, but it's passages nevertheless that we need to understand and we need to know, so that when the time comes, we can remember these and share these with people to show them that God is a God of justice and he will bring judgment on these people. Okay, well, that's 2 Thessalonians, and it's a proof that God will do this. And he will do it on the behalf of those who believe him and believe him through his son, Jesus Christ. So let's move on. Stay in the New Testament, as you see in your worksheet there at point number 10. Let's go to Matthew, the first book in the New Testament. And let's go to Matthew chapter 3. And let's take up the next point that we want to make here about sharing with an unbelieving world what God has got planned here. Now, in Matthew chapter 3, to kind of set the stage here, we're talking about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist came as a forerunner before Jesus to prepare the way, as it says, to prepare the way in the wilderness. And that's where he came from, the wilderness of Judea, as we see in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. But we want to go down to verse 7, because we're talking about unbelievers in the world who, they're not stupid. Unbelievers are not stupid people. They are merely people who refuse to accept the gift of salvation, to accept the righteousness that God wants to bestow on us if we will simply follow him, believe in him, and have faith in him. There are those, though, that are going to fake it, and I call it faking it because they're going to act like they're righteous, that they want to be saved. But let's see how John the Baptist here in Matthew 3 starting at verse 7, handles these people. And these, of course, are the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So look at verse 3 of Matthew, or verse 7 of Matthew 3. It says, "But when he," this is John the Baptist, "saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, "We have Abraham for our father." For I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham." So what's John the Baptist trying to do here? He is obviously aware that these Pharisees and Sadducees, somebody has told them that there's going to be a judgment come, and they need to not be involved in any way with that judgment. But they think that all they need to do is to go down to the river and let John or one of his associates baptize them, because they think that's the only thing required. So they obviously have a head understanding of what they think is necessary to be saved from the wrath to come, but it's not in their hearts at all. They have no knowledge of what's being offered here. So he calls them a brood of vipers. And the key point I want to make to you today here in verse 7 of Matthew 3 is that last line: "Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" That's what this whole point in number 10 on our worksheet is about, is warning the unbelieving world about the wrath to come. Obviously, these Sadducees and Pharisees have been made aware of it because they've been studiers of the Old Testament. They've heard John the Baptist talk about it, but they think all they need to do is a physical act of going down to the river and getting baptized. And he says that is not the case, because he makes it clear in verse 9, they believe that all they have to say is, "I am a descendant of Abraham, and because I'm a descendant of Abraham, I'm going to be saved. I'm going to be with God." And John the Baptist is making it clear, as Jesus does soon after this, after John baptizes him, that this is not the case, that even the stones are able to raise up children to Abraham. But just because you are in the lineage, the genealogical lineage of Abraham, that does not get you to heaven. Only faith in Jesus Christ. And if you don't have that faith, it's not just the baptism doesn't save you. It's an outward sign, but it's an inward faith that saves you. And if you don't have that faith, you will not be able to flee from the wrath to come. And it's that wrath that we need to be aware of, because God goes into detail, very necessary but excruciating detail, of what the wrath is that is in store for those who refuse to believe him. So we're going to look at John and talk about sinners and God not listening to sinners as we go into our next program. But as we always do on Exploring Bible Prophecy, we want to answer a question from a listener. And we have been exploring the scriptures, looking to answer a question from a listener in Johnson City who has asked, "Is everybody who ever lived resurrected at the Great White Throne Judgment, or are there other resurrections?" And we have looked at 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 26, which tells us that there will be multiple resurrections, beginning with the resurrection of Jesus Christ 3 days after his death and burial. So he is what is called the first fruits of all the resurrections to come. And then we went on to talk about the next resurrection to take place on the, if you will, the prophetic calendar, and that's the rapture of the church, the resurrection of all those in the church. And that is found in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18 describes the rapture of all of those who have believed in Jesus Christ from the point of Pentecost, And we went to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, to read about Pentecost. And this is when the Holy Spirit, for the first time in the Bible, comes into and dwells permanently within a believer. And before Pentecost, the Holy Spirit would come on you if you were righteous. But if you turned to unrighteousness, the Holy Spirit would leave you. Well, for a believer in Jesus Christ, at Pentecost forward, the Holy Spirit would never leave you. So we have the church being raptured out, and then, of course, they are judged at the Bema seat and then get married to Christ in heaven. Then they come back at the second coming after the seven-year tribulation with Christ, and it's at the second coming that Christ brings about two more resurrections, and the first one was the resurrection of what we call the Old Testament saints, those who died in righteousness before Christ was glorified to heaven. And that's described in Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. Daniel 12, 1 through 2. And it talks about those that were righteous would live forever. And then at the end of verse 2, it talks about those who are wicked that will be resurrected to judgment later on after the second coming. They'll be resurrected and judged at the great white throne judgment. And the point we wanted to make, and where we left off in our last program, was in the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews chapter 11. So if you could turn to Hebrews chapter 11, and I want to finish up about the Old Testament saints being resurrected, because it describes why they weren't resurrected back sometime in the past before Christ, and it makes it very clear in Hebrews 11. Of course, Hebrews 11 may sound familiar to you as what they call the Hall of Faith, and it lists all the Old Testament people who were counted as righteous and descriptions of some of those people. And it says in Hebrews 11, verses 39 and 40, so the very end of the chapter, it reads, "And all these," referring to all the Old Testament people listed in Hebrews 11 above, it says, "And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had not provided something better, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect." And what's being talked about here? Jesus Christ. All the Old Testament saints were waiting for Jesus Christ to have his ministry, to be crucified, buried, and gloriously resurrected. Because when he was gloriously resurrected, they were taken, their spirits were taken to heaven, and then they're going to be resurrected at the end of the tribulation period at his second coming. They were merely waiting on Jesus to have that take place. Then the next resurrection that takes place at his second coming has to do with all of those who died for their faith during the tribulation. During the tribulation. So you have the rapture of the church before the tribulation. Then you have the Old Testament saints being resurrected, which takes care of the Old Testament. And then you have the people who died for their faith during the tribulation. So that leads us all up to the second coming. And they are described in Revelation chapter 20. And in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 4, it says, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him, so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time." So it tells us that this is at the end of the tribulation, when this is all taking place, when Satan is bound. And then the key is verse 4. "Then I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, and those who had not worshiped the beast or his image and not received the mark on their forehead and on their hand. And they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So there is the resurrection of what is called the tribulation saints, people who died because of their faith during the tribulation period, are resurrected to an eternal life with Jesus. So now you have the church resurrected, you have the Old Testament saints resurrected, then you have the tribulation saints resurrected. And these are all glorious resurrections to live with God and with Jesus forever. Then the last one, the last group of people to be resurrected to eternal life are all the unbelievers of all time, from, you know, Cain in Genesis until the time of the great white throne judgment. And this judgment is taught in Revelation 20, verses 11 to 15. So let's go, we're right in here to Revelation 20. So let's go to verse 11. And it says, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place could be found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." So following this last resurrection of all those whose names were not found in the book of life, they were resurrected to their in their bodies, but they will live eternally separated from the love of God and the Lamb, because they will be eternally suffering in the lake of fire. So that's the last of the resurrection. So you have Jesus resurrected, then we're waiting for the rapture of the church, for the church to be resurrected. Then at the end of the tribulation, at the second coming of Christ, the Old Testament saints and the tribulation saints will be resurrected to their glorified bodies, and all of these people will live forever with God. And then at the end of the thousand-year kingdom, there'll be the great white throne judgment, and all the unbelievers of all time will be resurrected and judged and sent into the lake of fire to be eternally tormented. Remember, if we don't talk again, I'll be seeing you in the air.
Thank you for joining us on today's Exploring Bible Prophecy. If you have a question or comment for our host, Steve Butler, please email him, steve@whcbradio.org. Our special offer this month is Volume 1 of Invisible War on the Saints with Dr. Greg Patton. After several years of traveling evangelism, Greg Patton's life was dramatically changed by a demonic attack. Decades of extensive study and work with hundreds of demonically oppressed people have led to this special DVD series in which Dr. Patton exposes the enemy's weak points and teaches the believer to put on the armor of God and wield the weapons of spiritual warfare to achieve victory in Jesus Christ. You can own your very own copy of Invisible War on the Saints, Volume 1, with an offering of $20 or more to the ministry of WHCB. 423-878-6279. That's 878-6279, or visit refugestore.com. Exploring Bible Prophecy is a production of WHCB. Learn more at whcbradio.org.